Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of Help I Sexted My Boss Does I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. Usually, when Jordan isn't in a castle, this is the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life. But things aren't usual at the moment. As if 2020 couldn't get any weirder, Jordan North is now the nation's sweetheart, appearing every night on ITV Prime Time. Throughout his journey, I'll be with you daily with a special podcast to keep you up to date with everything our northern friend gets up to. You should know by now that I'm William Hansen, an etiquette coach by day. I'm more Windsor Castle. Jordan's more Castle. I think I got that correct. We probably should sort out those Welsh lessons fairly pronto. Last night's trial, undertaken by Mo Farah, was Fort Knox, where the athlete reached into dark chambers, feeling around, seeing what he pulled out. In many ways, life is like that task. You reach into the distance, hoping you retrieve something cute and cuddly. But sometimes, as Sir Mo found out, life is not kind, and you find yourselves grasping in a hellhole, suddenly attached to a pale, hairless, red-eyed creature no one really wants to spend time with. Which reminds me. Hello, producer Ben.
Hi, guys.
Oh, you're such a good sport.
Still smiling through it somehow.
Yes, through gritted teeth. How was your Picky Tea Friday that you did on social media?
Yeah, last night, first ever Picky Tea as a grown adult. And I mean, it's quite stressful putting together a Picky Tea. I consider myself a fairly decent cook. Not that I don't think I cooked anything with my Picky Tea. But there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot going on. But it was nice. I did have a stomach ache for about 10 minutes. And I was worried that was going to floor me for the rest of the evening, but it didn't. I got through that. I posted pictures of the journey on social media. I stayed social. I mean, you got a mixed response. Some people saying apparently camembert is posh, which...
No.
I didn't know. And you pointed out on the Instagram post that literally nothing is green, which is the point. Beige is beautiful, to quote Jordan North, of course. Lots of great comments. So I mean, the funniest thing about the whole thing, I posted the Picky Tea on Instagram, at Sexy My Boss, if you want to go see it, is that a lot of people commented assuming that it was your Picky Tea.
I know.
And this had turkey dinosaurs. It had potato unicorns, which I was... Maybe you would get potato unicorns.
Yeah, maybe. As I commented when a few... I was sort of looking at it and I thought I'm not going to engage in this level of poor diet. But then I felt compelled. If I was doing mayonnaise, I wouldn't put it just in a plastic squeezy bottle. I'd decant it. And it would be from a glass jar in the first place, potentially homemade. As if people... I mean, how do they listen to this podcast? Do they really think that would be what I did?
I'm sorry. I mean, I was pretty happy with how it looked, to be honest. I think there was lots of variety.
Mm.
We did put olives out as sort of one of the few... Are they a vegetable or a fruit? I have no idea what an olive is. But
they've got a stone, so that I think means they're a fruit.
Yeah, well, the olives went into the little pot. And then at the end of the meal, they went back out of the pot and back into the jar because they had not been touched.
Something you didn't touch that you did buy some shit-take mushrooms.
I did. Thank you for the reminder. And I literally hate mushrooms, but I just did it for likes. So that sums me up.
That does. A few people are saying, oh, it's nice to hear Ben talk. Obviously, they're ex-friends. And they say, what's Ben's character? That sums it up.
Who's the real producer, Ben?
He just does everything for likes.
He's the producer and he goes to buy shiitake mushrooms.
Anyway, coming up later, I'll be chatting to the first ever King of the Jungle and former Radio 1 presenter, Tony Blackburn. Tony worked a full 5 days a week on Radio 1, which I'm sure is a source of deep jealousy to Jordan.
Just keep it up. You've overcome all your fears. You're getting on well with people, and you're well on the way to that crown and king of the castle.
All right, let's get our glasses. Let's raise whatever we're drinking. I've got a lovely gin and a bonnet. Oh, you've got a pre-mixed one back again, Ben.
Found one in the back of the fridge, and I thought I'd treat myself.
How big's your fridge?
Massive. You should see how many mushrooms I've got in there.
So we shall raise our glasses to turkey, dinosaurs, chips and beans, what we call a picky tea.
It's a picky tea.
Oh, lovely. Right, I need to go and redecorate the next door bedroom. So I think that gives you time to talk about the competition.
Yeah, we've had two winners of the hashtag Get Behind Jordan competition. They have won two pre-mixed cocktails, one of which, no, I'm holding one right now, but not you don't win the one I'm holding. And then they've won two other cocktails. I believe they've ordered them, so they're going to the winners already. It's that quick. And all you have to do to enter the competition is retweet the tweet that is on our Twitter feed, at SexyMyBoss. Right now, if you're listening to it, probably, because it goes out at 8 a.m. every day throughout Jordan's time in the castle. And yeah, the bottles are supplied by www.thebottledbartender.co.uk. So if you don't fancy your chances, you can go and buy. William, I have to read out the terms and conditions. Stop laughing. Do you want me to?
It's the fact you put the www dot, because no one does that.
I should start saying /, because that's what they used to say.
HTTP.
Yes. Go on. Now I've lost where I am. I'm gonna have to start again. No, I'm joking.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm going to try and turn my camera off.
No, it's fine. We know how it works. I think I've said everything I need to say. Just go onto the Twitter feed and retweet and you'll be entered into the competition.
Good. Right, we'll crash on. At the top of the show last night, they were teasing that there were going to be royal revelations. Now, I think I mentioned in this podcast before that Ruthie Henshall used to date, and now it's completely official, Prince Edward, who has latterly become the Earl of Wessex, the Queen's youngest child and youngest son.
Of course.
I don't know about you, but I felt like I'd just done a Bush Tucker trial watching that. I felt a bit icky. I don't really think you should be saying this on ITV.
But the thing is, the royal family mean something to you that I guess for a lot of other people maybe it's not on the same level. I don't know. For me it was quite exciting to hear her talking about. I mean, Diana was mentioned. I think Charles was probably mentioned. I can't remember who. All of the royal family, they're all mentioned. They don't mean as much to me, but it was pretty interesting. But it's quite funny how she sort of mentioned it to Shane as if it was like a playground thing, and it was just she's walking by. Oh, you sang it, Buckingham Palace. I slept there, and it's like, all right, you clearly want it. You've got a story that you want to share. Get it over with. Stop being attention seeking.
We got our first little glance of Jordan, still in his trusty scarf that potentially hasn't even taken off since they were given it a few nights ago. And then again, last night's kiosk, Cledwin coin challenge thing. Don't really understand that format and find them a little bit tedious. At points, was what percentage of British adults are reluctant to tell their age? Well, it's almost as if they know who one of those campmates are. And was it 10% was the correct answer?
Was it 11% and 22% and 11% was the correct answer? I mean,
yes, and within that 11%, we all know is Jordan North.
Yeah, I tweeted if the survey was for one person, then that answer would have been 100%. Unfortunately, it's probably a few more people involved.
And then we had another public vote, this time not for a trial. This time it was to vote who was the biggest camp leader. My vote has always been Margaret Thatcher. She was quite camp, but I did vote once for Jordan, but I also voted for Ruthie.
What?
which I'm not sure why I did that after. I know, I've said it.
What? You voted. You've just moaned about Ruthie and you've given her the leadership.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think, actually, thinking about it, I had had...
I don't appreciate it.
I'd had a very strong gin and a bonnet and then another gin and tonic. And I think I wasn't thinking.
Oh, my... This is going to send the hashtag Get Behind Jordan campaign into disarray.
Look, I love Jordan to pieces, but I don't really think he's a leader.
But he is Camp Young Jordan, Camp
Leader. He's the sort of person that needs to be led.
It's entertaining. That's why it's entertaining, William. Hashtag Get Behind Jordan. Who cares about the actual logic of it? That's not what we're here for.
If Jordan was in charge, they would all turn up late to their Bush Tucker trials. Their microphones, they would have problems with their microphones. He'd have to adjust their microphones for a good 10 minutes. It just...
Still be my fault.
Yeah. it would go to pot.
Exactly. And that's good. That's what we want. That's why we're here.
Should I see if G&D I can still
Divas.
Vote? I feel
no,
bad
No, you can't
now.
Still vote. You voted. It's done.
Oh, the app's crashed. Well, sorry.
Oh, there we go. That's lucky, isn't it? 4 years now we're going to have to wait for the next leader.
Now, this is the first trial. We had two trials this evening that didn't involve Jordan. First one that he sort of was exempt from doing. The public did not vote for him. Mo Farah did it instead, and it was Hell Holes, where basically, for those that didn't see it, it's where the athlete had to stick his hand in certain holes, retrieve a key, then unlock little vault things, and then stick his hand in that to get a star. And as many stars as he got, they got meals, and he had to sort of reach around in pig guts, fish guts, offal, crickets, water dragons, pigeons, maybe not, you know, irritating, but maybe not quite as... again, I felt that was a little Welsh touch coming through, maybe less sexy. And, of course, the biggest one that he had to stick his hand in was...
Rats.
Yeah, squeaky little furry rats. And lots of people very kindly were asking on Twitter how I was. Lots of people that I know started texting me saying, oh, how have you been? You all right? You on the floor?
People are concerned about you, William.
And I'm happy to report I was absolutely fine. Thank you.
Phobiagone.com does what it says on the tin.
I don't look at them and go, oh, I want to pick one up and cuddle one and have them as a pet. I look at them and think, ugh. But as Paul will say, my hypnotherapist, that is a fairly normal standard reaction, and that's completely acceptable to have, you know. But I don't feel like I need to sort of dive behind a cushion and never emerge until, you know, Miss Marple's back on the TV or anything, which is sort of what was happening before.
So you weren't making Mo Farah noises?
I wasn't, no.
Because they were some noises that were coming out of that Olympic gold medalist Sir Mo Farah's mouth.
I feel with Mo Farah, he only got 9 out of 12. I mean, Jordan got more than him. Amazing. But... sort of, Mo's in a hard position because he's sort of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, because he's Sir Mo Farah, CBE. So, sort of, people are probably expecting him to do brilliantly well because he's apparently a superhero. So, he's got that level of expectation, but then if he doesn't meet that level of expectation, it's, oh, what a disappointment. So, I feel that he was in a hard place.
Yeah, I mean, I think 9 is probably good enough. Like, that's a decent level, to be honest. I mean, I did make a few jokes about it on Twitter. And then I remembered that he was Sir Mo Farah, and I did make a joke about him having 4 gold medals and Jordan North having 12 gold stars. And apparently the 12 gold stars meant more to me in that moment. And I probably regret tweeting that. But in the moment I was...
Were you trolled?
I wasn't trolled. Everyone was with me on that journey on Twitter. We're all here. Hashtag get behind Jordan. The only person that's not with us is you, apparently.
I feel really bad. I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Well, you and me both.
Oh, by the way, we should just... complete side note. I spoke to my parents, mm-hmm. and they watched the... They normally don't watch I'm a Celebrity when it goes out. They watch it the day later. They go to bed, you know, head. They watched Jordan with the shiitake mushrooms, and apparently my father fell off the sofa laughing.
Well, we know what needs to be on the menu next time we go to Bristol and stay over your parents. Remind them.
Yeah, but you'd hate it because you hate mushrooms.
Anything for likes.
and that will get likes.
Okay, fair enough. Watmo won the Bush Tucker was cuttlefish. Again, disgusting. I hate fish, but actually they all seem to like it and rave about it and say it was very tasty. And then Anton Deck announced that there is going to be a live trial. This was our first live trial of the series. And I'm sure, Ben, the moment they showed the set for the live trial, it seemed a little bit familiar.
Very familiar. I mean, they've obviously seen the same guy as us, or they've just nicked what we used for our live tour. Those red plush chairs.
Sort of seated just, you know, tasteful distance apart. And, yeah, they just need a little copper bucket at the foot of the stage for people to put their questions in, and that was sort of it. So that was a lovely compliment that they've stolen our tour set. We'll have to get a different set for our tour next year now.
Yes. What I'll do as well, because some people obviously didn't go to our live tour, I will Instagram a picture of William and Jordan in a very, well, Jordan in a compromised position on stage, and Anton Deck on the next picture, and you'll be able to compare and just ignore the fact that Jordan is literally being held on the floor by William. That's not the important part. The important part is the chair behind them.
Exactly. Now, everyone got to go on this trial. Round one, though, it was boys versus girls, lords versus ladies. Jordan and Shane were up on the terror troughs. And what they had to do is basically shove their head into this trough of slime, which had offal. There was a lot of offal on the show last night, and sort of grab out these gold coins with their mouths and then stick them into a bucket, or is it bouquet? I always forget. And that was what they had to do. And they seemed to do that very well. Actually, they won. The girls only got a few. Well, I said they got two. Boys got three. So immediately they were in the lead.
I mean, the liquid in the trough did look like a Green Hulk. So I think Jordan, probably in his element, he's thinking this is just a Foster's and a bit of blue WKD poured into it. I'm fine. For me as well, looking at it from where I was sitting, it looked nicer than some of the elements of my picky tea. So everyone's a winner.
Then there were all sorts of other sort of trials that people had to go through. Vernon and Victoria Derbyshire had to lie down in these cages whilst they just poured cockroaches and maggots on them, and they had to spin off these discs. And then we got to another rat trial. So my hypnotherapy was really tested last night. And actually, I mean, I would have gone to pieces. The old William. I don't think the new William would have loved what happened, but the old William just... I would have gone into cardiac arrest, I think, had I actually had to go through that, where AJ and Jessica, and I felt so sorry for Jessica in particular, because you could see she was hating it, were in stocks and their head were in this box where full of rats and naked rats, which is now I know what is the technical term for those awful white things with red eyes that you've
the
seen.
The technical term?
Well, you know, the sort of...
The species.
The National Geographic term. Yeah, the species. Rather than those awful things. And again, they had to spin off these things. At the end of the day, the lords, the boys, they won. And they are being treated to a royal banquet that they're being told. I'll be the judge as to how royal that banquet was when we see what it is.
Ooh, etiquette lesson to come. That sounds exciting.
It won't really be a royal banquet. And based on the sort of the... Oh, they'll be eating swan. I mean, they won't be eating swan because I think that's highly illegal. But that they'll sort of be going down a sort of a medieval route, and it'll be on trestle tables and sort of a pig's head or something like that. It's not, you know, it's not going to be the 1953 coronation goblets. Let's put it that way.
But will they say medieval right? That's the important thing.
That's all that matters. As long as they get the pronunciation right. That's all I care about. There's more cracking castle chat in a moment, but please make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you get our daily episodes when you wake up tomorrow. We really want your help to spread the word about Sexted My Boss, so share the love on socials and use the hashtag GetBehindJordan. Well, the old adage goes, there's nothing like a good joke. So to prove that point, what follows is nothing like a good joke.
A dog was drowning in a pond, right? And luckily, this German fella walked past and pulled it from the water and tried to save it. I asked the man, I said, are you a vet? And the German fella said, am I vet? I'm fucking sucking.
When we come back, I'll be chatting to... Tony Blackburn. Now, if Radio 1 still sounded like that, I might listen to it a bit more often.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is an introduction to the podcast that gets a flavour for your neighbour.
Peering over the fence when things have got tense.
With the most outrageous tales of your next door fails.
The time has come for you to listen to...
Score Next Door. My name's Rich Williams.
And I'm Emma Jones.
Score Next Door is our brand new podcast.
And we think you're going to love it.
Hopefully a bit more than you love your neighbours.
There's a new episode every Wednesday, so search for us wherever you listen to your podcast to find out what all the fuss is about.
And if you do love your neighbours, you might as well listen to the people that hate theirs.
Yeah, why not?
As you know by now, every episode of this castle-themed series, I'll be joined by another member of the ever-growing Team Jordan. Today we welcome a presenter who, if he was still on Radio 1, I'd be sure to keep it locked and keep it loaded. Let's welcome the very first King of the Jungle, greetings Pop Pickers, and greetings Tony Blackburn.
Hello, hi there.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, are you watching I'm a Celebrity this year?
Yes, I am. I've watched it every year since I took part in it on the first year, you know, so I watch it every single... I love this one. I love this one very much.
How do you think you'd cope in Wales in this castle rather than the jungle?
I think in Wales it's more difficult, to be honest with you, than Australia, because in Australia at least you have the fairly warm weather. You've also got a lovely trip out there as well. Whereas now, yeah. I mean, I noticed last night it was raining, it's pretty cold, and the toiletry facilities are appalling. Absolutely appalling. I mean, at least in Australia, you were able to bathe in a nice pool or something like that, or a river. Whereas, I mean, it is very basic what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fascinating to see what changes that they are making with this year. Now, you obviously at Radio 1 alumnus. Jordan, yep, is a current Radio 1 presenter. What were your first impressions of him?
Well, the first impression was that he was petrified at everything. he was violently sick. That wasn't the best thing they could have shown. But he came over as a very nice guy. You know, that was the impression I got. And as it's gone further and further on, I think he's come across really well. And I think this experience will do him a lot of good. It will sort of make him not so frightened of everything. I gather he's frightened in a lift and things like that. Well, the stuff that he's doing, I mean, it is frightening. It's a very, very frightening, yeah, thing that he's doing. And I think he's coming out of it very well.
Now, obviously, you were in the very first ever series of I'm a Celebrity. How, and you, for you, it really was the unknown because we hadn't seen that programme before. So how was that? How did you find
it? Well, I enjoyed it very much. I mean, we were there for 2 weeks. The trials that we did weren't quite as bad as the ones they're doing now. And in fact, when I went in there, I didn't realise we were going to have to do trials. I thought, I don't remember anybody telling me about that. And I remember Tara Tomkinson coming back after the first trial. She said, good Lord, they dropped a load of things all over me. And we were absolutely appalled. They said it must have been a mistake. I thought I was just going to sit round a fire for about 2 weeks talking a load of rubbish. But it didn't turn out that way. But doing the first one was quite interesting because we didn't know how it was done. We didn't know where Anton Deck came from every morning. We didn't realise how it was being done. So I loved it, and it changed me very much indeed as a person. It made me much more tolerant to people. And I don't know, it changed me quite a lot since. And I think it will with Jordan as well. I think he might go back to Ready One and get in the lift and not freak out about it. Mind you, he'll be looking for quite some time for snakes in there. You know, he'll think probably the head of Ready One's put a few snakes and bugs in.
Yes, well, I do actually, now I haven't told Ben this, his flatmate texts me to say that he's ordered some fake snakes from Argos, I think. He's going to stick in his bed, which is just so lovely. How has the programme evolved over time? What sort of trials did you have to do? Because I think I watched your series. That was the only series I watched up until this series. I think they were a lot more, dare I say, basic. I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah, they were. They were. They were, they were not so... I mean, we walked into camp. We didn't have to skydive or anything like that. We walked for about a half an hour. They were walking us in a circle, more or less, really. What they've done now is they've made it much more... I mean, you know, all the rats and burying people under the ground. I think it's horrible. So I like it when we just see, Jordan talking to Shane Ritchie and having a joke around. That, to me, is much more entertaining.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think seeing the dynamic emerge... And I... Although your camp, from what I can remember, sort of you started off relatively friendly as a camp. I mean, not you personally, but then the tension started to appear.
Ours was the most argumentative one of all the series, I think. In fact, it's very kind of you to say we all got on, but we didn't actually get on even before we went in there.
We met up
and that's the argument started before we'd even got into the jungle. They were all at one another's throats. I don't know why, I'm not normally like that, but I sort of became, probably because I was the oldest one there, I became like the Henry Hissinger of the jungle, you know, sorting everything out. And you sorted somebody out, and then an argument broke out somewhere else. It was absolute murder. And I remember at one stage, I just got up, and they were all arguing and shouting. And they didn't show it, I don't think, on the final show. I said, for God's sake, you're like a load of children, stop arguing. Otherwise, I'm going to go get out of here.
You were the first winner, and you still are the only radio DJ winner. What does Jordan need to carry on doing, or maybe completely rethink his strategy, to become the latest winner and second radio DJ winner?
I think to be honest with you, being himself, I think he's coming across very, very well indeed. He comes across as very likeable. I mean, when he went in, he was terrified of everything. I think he still is terrified of everything. But nevertheless, he really has done very well. I mean, those things that he was doing, being buried under the ground with all those critters and things, it must be horrible. I've actually never had to do that. I mean, I've been bitten by a couple of snakes out there, but that was about it. But what he's doing there is, I don't think people realize, well, I think people do realize how tough it is. And for somebody who really is scared, and he basically is quite scared of everything, I think he's done remarkably well. And he comes across as a very likable person as well. So I don't think he has to do anything else. I think it's when you try too hard, that's the mistake, because you can't keep that going for 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah. What was your hardest moment when you were in the jungle?
I think the hardest moment, the most tragic moment for me, was when I collected all these logs. I became known as the log man. I was collecting hundreds of logs. And in fact, they told me afterwards I collected enough logs to last for 4 weeks. And they had to actually, when I got towards the end of the program, they took us all out of the camp. And they actually took all the logs that I collected away. And I came back and it absolutely broke my heart.
Oh.
All that effort I put into it. So I had to start all over again. And the tragic thing was that what they do, the only thing that they do, they give you the logs, because you're not allowed to cut the trees down, obviously, in the jungle. So they threw the logs at the side of the river. So I went down by the side of the lake and saw all these logs that they had actually thrown down back again. And the sad thing was I recognized two of them. And there was one particularly attractive one that I didn't know that the cameras were on me. And I started talking to it. I said, you're a very lovely log, you are. I'm going to take you back. Don't worry, I'm not going to burn you.
You smoothie.
Yes.
Would you have said yes to doing the programme if it were in Wales?
Yes, I would have done, yeah. Yeah, because it's something different. And I think it's actually, to be honest with you, it's one of the most enjoyable ones.
Mm.
I always thought that moving it, because they've done 19 in Australia, and to me it was beginning to look a little bit samey. The same thing. It looked lovely and everything. Ants and Deck. I mean, as long as they're there, they're great. I think they're wonderful, Ant and Dec. They make the program. But going to Wales, I think it's a good idea. And I think possibly it might encourage them to go to different places from now on.
Mm.
I mean, from their point of view, this has been a cheaper one for them because they haven't got the airfares and the massive bill that they must have in their hotel. I don't know where they're staying in North Wales, but it must be cheaper for them. And I think it makes for a better program. And it's doing terribly well.
It is.
I mean, it's doing very, very well. Yeah.
I think they could alternate maybe between jungle and castle, or you could even throw in a desert.
Well, a desert would be interesting, yes. I mean, it's nothing like an attractive camel wandering around. I think it will possibly mean that they won't always get back to Australia. And I think the castle looks absolutely... I know it hasn't got a roof on, but it looks lovely. I mean, the actual setting itself is terrific. It looks like a film set.
Yeah, it does look beautiful. They've done a great job. Going back to the campmates this year, is there anyone that's annoying you or maybe disappointing you so far?
I'm not that interested in the sporting people too much, to be honest with you. Mo Farah and Holly Arnold, you know, Paralympian. Yep. You see, I don't think sometimes, I think when these sports people go in there, we had Nigel Benn in there, they think it's a physical game, but it isn't. It's a mental game. It's them against the producers. You know, as soon as everybody starts settling down, be nice to one another, the producer puts a spoke in there. And, I mean, what the producers are hoping is that they'll all start arguing. That's the honest truth of it, because it makes for good television. Having said that, it's also nice to see people getting on. So there's nobody actually irritating me at the moment. I think they're all coming across very well. I think Ruthie Henshaw, she's just come in. She was great. Russell Watson had a bit of a tough time banging his head and chipping his tooth.
Yeah.
Beverly Callard, I'm a great Coronation Street fan. So she's coming across very well. And, of course, she's doing what I suggested Noel Edmonds should have done. I'm a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. She's a vegan. And Noel Edmonds, when he went in, he said to me, have you got any advice? I said, yes, tell them you're a vegetarian.
Mm.
Then you don't have to eat all that horrible stuff.
Yes.
And he said, oh, it's too late now. I'm on the way to Australia. And she's come across very, very well. And,
yes, we like her.
Yeah, I like her very much as well, yeah.
Still 2 weeks to go, but who is your early prediction for King or Queen of the Castle?
Well, I mean, I'm going for Jordan because, you know, he's a jock. He's a disc jockey. Disc jockeys, as we all know, are a wonderful, wonderful variety of people. They're probably the finest people roaming the planet.
Oh, yes.
If not, Jordan, I would go for possibly Shane Ritchie, who's a lot of fun, and the Beverly Callard.
He obviously can't hear us, but let's pretend he can. Can you share a good luck message for Jordan?
Yeah, of course I will. I mean, Jordan, you're doing terribly, terribly well. Just keep it up. I think you're marvellous that you've overcome all your fears, it seems, at the moment. You're getting on well with people, and you're well on the way to that crown and king of the castle. And you can always say, I was king of the jungle, but you're king of the castle. That's terrific. Good luck.
Tony, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Pleasure.
Now, for our Help I Sexted My Boss, as I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here special tomorrow, we're taking the Jordan North and Beverly Callard love-in from our screens and bringing it to this very podcast. Beverly's daughter and tweeter-in-chief, Danielle, will be here to tell us what she thinks of her mum and Jordan's new friendship. In the meantime, please keep using the hashtag GetBehindJordan and make sure you follow @SexedMyBoss because we'll be retweeting all of your support. Ben, please summon up enough energy to say those immortal words.
Bye, guys.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.